Thank you for listening to this episode of Changes Big and Small. This is your host, Demian. Changes Big and Small will help you take action in your life with intention and purpose. In each episode, I invite you to accept unexpected challenges that will help you take action to build a life that you want. I've been gone for a few weeks. I've been traveling to Mauritania and Senegal to visit some friends. In fact, I'm still in Senegal. And I really felt like I needed a break away from technology. Mauritania ended up being the perfect opportunity to do that. And I had a nice opportunity to move at a slower pace and not be very busy, which is typical when I'm home in Prague. I planned to release this episode last week, so it's late, but I will be back on schedule from this Wednesday with a new episode where I'm interviewing Heather Polifka. Let's get into this week's episode. Since discussing work cultures and remote work environments with the last three guests, Matt Blizek, Raul Quadrado, and Uta Frenzen-Woschke, I've been thinking about the connection between relationships at work and work cultures. When we think about a relationship, we can compare it to the growth of a plant. In order to build any kind of relationship, you need to plant a seed. We can think about willingness and intention as seeds that can be planted to build a relationship. That's a good start. But then we need to nurture those seeds. This is where action comes in. Some of these actions that previous guests have talked about include virtual water coolers, icebreakers in team meetings, social activities online or in person, and other opportunities to get to know your colleagues, to get to know the people that you're trying to build relationships with. If you have a work culture that nurtures relationships, then there are often systems in place that support these actions. You are usually encouraged to participate in social activities and to get to know colleagues during the workday. Opportunities to meet colleagues face-to-face are encouraged and supported by the company, with periodic opportunities for team building during meetups. So for example, at the remote work company where I work, Automatic, outside of COVID times, we had a yearly meetup as a company and then also yearly meetups within smaller teams. So there was some thought and some consideration put into building those frameworks and those opportunities for people to meet face-to-face and for them to be able to connect in the physical world. We can think of personal interest as being the seed for relationships at work, while the system and structure of the workplace, that is the work culture, nurture the seed for the relationship to grow. Uta, Raul, and Matt each shared some actions that you can take for having satisfying relationships at work. Let's listen in. Uta reminds us of the importance of starting with ourselves. When we think about our relationships, we can decide who we want to be in relationships with and how we will show up for those people and in those relationships.
We have so many relationships in the workplace, and we cannot be on good terms with everyone. But being intentional and conscious about which relationships are the good ones and which ones are the challenging ones will be a good starting point. And to start with the I, start how you see it. Because if you don't know how you are standing in that relationship, it's very difficult to guess maybe what the other person is experiencing.
Raul builds on this. And it's something that I've noticed with people that have great emotional intelligence. It really shows what we mean when we talk about being intentional.
This could seem Machiavellian, even, right? But I might maintain a chart of relationships that I want to keep alive work.
Matt reminds us of the importance of continuing to meet with the people that we value, with the people who are important to us, and of spending time in the physical world and not just in the virtual world.
I think the other things though, like looking for other hobbies or passions. Is there like, you know, a local club of something that you can join? If you're interested in something, going and looking online for other similar people that you can join, even if it's a virtual community, being part of community with people is going to help you feel more centered and more fulfilled. And then I think a lot of it is, you know, it's like, hey, who was your good friend 8 years ago that you haven't had a good conversation with yet? And it's rekindling maybe some of those old relationships. I played a lot of Zoom poker with old friends during the pandemic, which was just like a good way for a bunch of us to get together. We would normally get together and have some beers and play a poker game, but that wasn't possible. So, hey, we're just going to recreate the space. It's not the same, but it still gives us a little bit of that connection when we can't physically share the same space.
Raul, in particular, emphasized that just working in an office with someone isn't enough to create a relationship. Interestingly, a recent episode of 99% Invisible emphasized this. Roman Mars, the host, talks about how the modern open office started in Silicon Valley in the 2000s and was pitched as a way to facilitate collaboration with people in close proximity to each other. However, studies have shown that having everyone in a big room actually hindered collaboration. Although there were more people in the space, it was quieter, and that made conversation more awkward. In the 7 years from 2010 to 2017, the average space per employee decreased by 33%. If you are interested in the future of work, I recommend that you subscribe to 99% Invisible, because currently there is a 4-part series that explores this. I find it really ironic that adding more people into the space made it even more difficult to be able to chat with and get to know your colleagues. Reducing the physical space between colleagues actually reduced the opportunity for them to chat and get to know each other personally. Doors got replaced by headphones and other blockers that are even more effective than a physical barrier.
How often do people eat at their desk?
I've been there, preferring to eat at my desk than in a busy cafeteria. Interestingly, the friends I've made at work in the past were people that I spent very little time with at work. We may have met at work, but we nurtured our relationship by spending time together and getting to know each other outside of the office. It took being vulnerable and taking the time to really get to know each other. What do you think? Is that possible in a virtual space? Matt talked about the metaverse. This is emerging technology, but how might we build relationships with people that we work with, even if we haven't met them physically? Well, first, do you want to build relationships at work? With whom? And what's your reason for it? Start by answering those questions, and your answers will guide you in what to do next. For the remote work revolution, which people have been thinking about and prophesizing, we need to rethink work. And in many cases, that will require a mindset shift. When we think of work, we need to change the mindset of work from time spent in your chair to outcomes and results. Similarly,
we can't stay stuck in the mindset
that we can't build strong relationships during remote work, staying stuck in conventional ideas about work. What if instead you change the questions? So as I end today's episode, I leave you with two questions. One, what kinds of strong relationships can you build at work? And two, how might you show up to nurture them? Thanks for listening to this episode. I'm really curious what your answers are to these two questions. Send me an email and share your response with me. contact@changesbigandsmall.com. And if you've enjoyed listening to this episode, please share it with someone else. I'll be back in your feed on Wednesday with a new episode with an interview, and I hope you will join me then. Remember, change begins with one small step. Have a great week.